In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, here with the 302nd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are 5-6 and getting ready to host the defending Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are 8-3 and coming off of an impressive road victory, 38-31 over the Indianapolis Colts. Today we're going to look at their season scores, go over their offense, hear from Coach Bruce Arians, then move over to defense, then special teams, and then look at the statistical rankings comparison between the two teams on that will be playing on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Opportunity for the Falcons to legitimize their playoff bid here by going up against the defending Super Bowl champs and posting a victory. Now, we'll look at Tampa Bay's scores. They are 8-3. They started the season by beating the Cowboys 31-29 in a thriller on Thursday night. Then they beat the Falcons 48-25. Scores deceiving. Falcons got in that game and then folded up in the fourth quarter. Couple pick sixes there, and it got away from them in the fourth quarter. So from the takeaway from that one is they know they can play with them. They got to play four quarters, though, not just a couple. So that was your takeaway from the week two matchup. Then the Bucs went on to lose to the Rams. You know, back when the Rams were the Super Bowl winners, you know, and that things have fallen apart out there since this time. But they beat them 34-24. The Patriots, they won at New England 19-17, pounded the Dolphins 45-17, beat the Eagles 28-22, and then beat the Bears 38-3. So they went on a little four-game winning streak. And then hit the skids here for a little bit. Lost to the Saints. You know, they had problems with the Saints last year, who won the division actually last year and not Tampa Bay. They lost to them 36-27. Then they lost to the Washington football team 29-19. Folks were ready to write them off and start throwing the Tom, kicking dirt on Tom Brady again. Which we know over time that's a bad deal to do. So they, you know, Jets played the Giants on Monday night, you know, got Jason Garrett fired, 30-10 game. Wasn't real spectacular there. But against the Colts, this was a, man, they were down 10, and Leonard Fournette got loose. Rob Gronkowski got loose, and they came back with a Ronald Jones touchdown and a field goal late to win this game 38-31 over a Colts team that have been playing some pretty good football. So it's a crazy year. Anybody can be anybody. I'm not dismissing the Falcons and the Bucs. Just, you know, that, hey, if you're going to beat them, you're going to have to play a whole four quarters of football and get after Tom Brady as best you can. And you got to cover a whole bunch of receivers, and you're going to have to tackle Leonard Fournette. So it's a challenge, but hey, that's what they're playing for. You know, you're just trying to put together one game here. You know, if you don't get this one, then, you know, next week is off to Carolina. Get that one, then, you know, the schedule's out. But right now, this has got to be your focus, because everything you got on this roster has to be pulling in the same direction just to get the Falcons a shot against the world champs. So, offensively, their rushing attack is led by Leonard Fournette. He has 139 carries for 621 yards and 7 touchdowns. He had three last week in that Colts game. Ronald Jones, 59 carries for 264 and three touchdowns. They'll probably go with Giovanni Bernard in the return game more, but he's the third back. They got some injuries in the return game, and he's going to probably have to go back there, according to their coach, Bruce Arians. Well, let's hear from Coach Arians here. He spoke to the Tampa media on Monday. He discussed their injury situation and how well Leonard Fournette is playing and how well he played in the game against the Indianapolis Colts.
Head coach Bruce Arians will now begin. First question will come from Rick Stroud.
Hey, Bruce, if you could just begin by, as much as you can, updating us on guys like Devin White or Jamel Dean, Stinney, any guys you think you'll get back this week, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I doubt Stinney. We'll see. He's an MRI this morning. Devin, we'll see. We'll limit him Wednesday and Thursday and see what he can do. He did finish the game. It wasn't Devin, but he did finish the game and gutted it out. Dean, again, he's a wait-and-see guy, you know, with a bruised shoulder, but, you know, it doesn't look like there's any structural damage, so it's just going to be a pain tolerance thing. So that's pretty much it. Mike Edwards bruised his knee on that kickoff return tackle, and we'll wait and see on him.
Okay. And, you know, Leonard Fournette has been such a big part of your offense this year. I mean, you know, he's got almost 1,000 total yards. I think he's got more catches than Mike Evans. So what is sort of, I mean, he's played really well. It's good to have him. But what has sort of precipitated that? Are teams across the league just, you know, going to make you run the football? Like, kind of take us through why you think Lenny has had to.
I think our blocking units did a hell of a job, you know, and he found some holes. He's a 240-pound back that can run. And then usually he's coming out of the backside of Mike Evans' side. And, you know, he's getting doubled, so you're going to have soft coverage. And those 4 and 5 yard checkdowns turn into 11 real quick. And he breaks a tackle like he did in a 2-minute drill, and it's 13. So don't force it down the field. You know, so it. He's doing a heck of a job in the passing game. It was a nice catch and run on the touchdown. That really good throw by Tom. And he's just playing at a really high, consistent level. He's doing a good job as a pass protector also.
Thanks.
All right, that was Coach Bruce Arians of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They had a little music kick in there for us from the phone. But Aaron Stinney was the guard who got hurt. He was replacing Ali Marpet at guard, and he left the game in the first quarter with a knee, so that doesn't sound good for him. And Nick Leverett took his place. It was his first game being active. So, you know, that's the kind of depth they have. You know, the third string guard goes in, and they don't even give up. They give up one sack. And Leonard Fournette's playing well, so he did talk about that. And on the injury report, it's Devin White, the linebacker, cornerback Jamel Dean, and nickelback safety Mike Edwards, the one who did the Falcons in last time around. He's got a knee, and we'll just follow those injuries throughout the week. Good Monday injury report from Coach Arians. So, receiving-wise, you know the problems. Antonio Brown, he said something last week about him maybe making it back for the Falcons. So, you know, but they got enough problems even without him. Chris Godwin leads the team with 67 catches for 806. And Fournette's the checkdown guy. He's got 51 for 354, averaging 6.9 a catch. He's got more catches than Mike Evans. So, coach talked about how Mike's double, and they usually shoot Leonard Fournette off the backside away from the double team. So, that's pretty crafty right there. Evans, 50 catches, 695, and 10 touchdowns. Antonio Brown's got 4 touchdowns if he makes it back. And Gronkowski had 7 for 123 against the Colts and a touchdown. He's got 29 for 378 and 4 touchdowns. So, I mean, okay, You're Dean Pease, okay? And you can't fool Tom Brady. So, you know, disguising and faking and, you know, all that doesn't work. So you got to, you know, you're just going to have to play. You got to play. You're going to line up and defend Gronkowski. I don't know if Daron Harmon's up for that. Maybe Richie Grant can do it, or they'll give him a shot at it. You got to defend Godwin in the slot. You're going to have to tackle Fournette. And AJ's going to have to do it on Mike Evans. So, you know, those are some of the matchups. They don't travel, so, you know, it's zone and man. But so, you know, when Mike Evans shows up on AJ's side, you know, he's going to have to deal. When he shows up on Fabian Monroe's side, he's going to have to deal. So that's what they're dealing with, getting ready for the Buccaneers. And, of course, Brady's having a fine year. Touchdowns 30 to interceptions 9. Way better than your 2-to-1 ratio. Completing 67.6% of his passes. And been sacked 14 times. Has a passer rating of 103.2. So, you got all those weapons. Tom Brady, a steady line. Maybe you could attack the one guard if Stinney doesn't make it back and Ali Marpet is not back. Maybe you could flood a lot of Grady up in there and get up in Tom Brady's face like Grady did in the Super Bowl. I'm sure that Brady knows who Grady Jarrett is. No question about it. Go back to the Super Bowl 51 film and see that. One of those players was going to win the MVP that day. Now, so there we have it. You got a multifaceted, old-school, traditional offense. They want to throw it down the field. But, you know, if they don't have it, they can throw it to Leonard Fournette and let him just take it down the field his way. And then when you're worried about all that, then, you know, Chris Godwin's in the slot. And then when you worry about all that, here comes Gronkowski in the red zone. So a lot of weapons there to contend with. But like I said, the Falcons were in that game. You know, they got behind, got in the game. They fought with them, but then couldn't deliver the knockout blow. So that'll be their challenge. How much they've grown from game 2 under Arthur Smith, which, you know, was a game they had to play because they looked so bad in the opener. And how much better they are now at game 12. So he talks about improving your team, and we're going to get to measure it in this showdown here because he wouldn't even entertain comparing the Week 2 game to the – because these are two different teams now, and I agree with that personnel-wise, injury-wise, and just on their journey-wise. So let's move over to Tampa Bay's defense. You know, I've always – you know, I've been a big Lavonte David guy, and he's their second leading tackler with 71 tackles. Devin White, that'll be big if he can't play because he's the leading tackler with 90. And then the young safeties are back there covering up for the secondary that's been beat up all year long. Murphy Bunning's been out. Dean's been out. Carlton Davis has been out. But the safeties have been steady and ready. And I like watching these two guys play. Antoine Winfield, 53, and Jordan Whitehead, 49. 53 tackles and 49 tackles. So they got the back end. You know, they got the front. You know, you got to deal with Sue and JPP. And Vita Vea's been down again. I need an update on him. We'll get that for you this week. But, you know, the story is, can you handle that front? Can you block that front? Can you keep Shaquille Barrett off of Matt Ryan? Can you keep Devin White off of Matt Ryan? JPP, can you keep him off of Matt Ryan? And they got a new guy, Joe Tryon, who, you know, was one of the guys we wrote about and featured during the pre-draft process. He has 3 sacks. Sue has 4. And Shaq Barrett leads the way with 7.5. And overall, the Bucs have 27 sacks. You know, tops in the league is 33 by the Vikings. And there are 5 other teams with 30 or more sacks. I only say that because the Falcons or have 15. So there's a lot of teams that have doubled the output on the sack total. Now, the be a big out if Mike Edwards can't go. He's their leading interceptor with 3. Jamal Dean has 2. And Pierre Desir has 2 also. So that's a pretty, you know, if you can get to the secondary, you can be, you're going to win some routes back there. But like I said, you got to block them up front. And, you know, they're gonna jump some of these routes. We've seen teams in the last couple of weeks when Matt Ryan starts holding the ball, that means his routes are not open. And that the other team's right there. So he's not going to throw it. Had to take off a couple times. Or he's got to get to his check down quicker. You know, the check down, if you know, maybe move the check down around a little bit. But yeah, he's going to read the defense. And if the guy's not open, that's when he's holding it. He's not holding it because he wants to. So keep an eye on that, because I think you can get these corners, but it's the, you know, conundrum of, you know, can you block these guys long enough to get to the corners? So hopefully they come up with a way to do that. Well, if they don't, you know, it'll be a long day at the bins. If not, it'll be an exciting football game either way around. So that's just stuff for you to watch when you are checking out that game. And special teams wise, Pinions, the punter, and man, his numbers all jumbled here, so I didn't keep those together. Looks like 37 punts for 1,580 yards, 42.7 average, 38.7 net. So that's good. Looks like he's got yeah, we'll just give you those, the average and the net, because it's jumbled up there. I didn't do a good job moving it over here. And Suckup's the field goal kicker. He's 4 of 5 from beyond 50. So he's steady and clutch kicker. So, and their return game's kind of jarbled right now. They lost the returner. And then Mickens got claimed off the practice squad by Jacksonville, faced the Falcons last weekend. So Bruce Arians is talking about moving Giovanni Bernard back there to handle the return. So that situation will be fluid. We'll be sure to ask about the returners when we talk to Marquise Williams on Thursday. He'll have a good line on the return situation by then. Now here, we're going to wrap up with the statistical rankings. And, you know, for the crowd that says, hey, numbers don't matter, you know, that's probably because they don't like their numbers. So, but the numbers do matter. They tell you a lot. This tells you how tough of a game this is going to be for the Falcons. They will be going against the number one scoring offense, 31.5, and the number one passing offense, 305.9. So, and while they're doing that, your pass defense, the Falcons' pass defense is 14th and at 236.9 per game. And their scoring is 31st, 27.5. So, you know, betting people, the line is moving. It was 10, now it's up to 11.5. The over and under is 50.5. They hit their averages. The over is the way to go here. But let's get back to the numbers and out of the amateur gambling arena. So, yeah, that's the problem that the defense has. They got the number one points scoring offense, the number 3 total offense, 401 yards, .7. Number 23 in rushing yards, 95.8. But like I said, Fournette had 17 carries for 100 last week. And he's got Ronald Jones coming off the bench. And they can go to Giovanni Bernard. So they're 23rd. That's the one thing that they don't do that's not in the top 16 offensively, is run the ball. So you want to try to take the run away. And I don't even know if they want to run the ball. But, yeah, you got to control Fournette and then be ready for a change of pace back, Ronald Jones, and, you know, Giovanni Bernard. All of them can catch the ball, too. So, you know, that's a tough order. we'll see. And then net passing yards per game, 305.9 first. And then time of possession, they're 15th in the league, 30 minutes and 39 seconds of time. So let's, so you got their numbers, and the Falcons' defensive numbers are getting incrementally better here. The pass defense is 14th. That's the best thing they're doing. The run game is 124.9. I mean, a lot of quarterback yards in there. And then the passing yards, total yards is 361.8. That's 22nd. And points, 27.5. That's 31st, next to last in the league. So, those are skewed by some of the, the lopsided Dallas game and the, the 48 points the Bucks put on them, 43 that Dallas put on them. So that's why those points are up there. Now, the Falcons' offense is going to have to do a little bit. They're going to have to put their best game together. You got to have to unlock the Kyle Pitts situation. We blog about that in the Cover 9 at 9 this week. Coach seemed to be getting offended by the questions of how teams are defending him. But, the numbers don't lie. He hasn't had over 62 yards receiving since his, Hall of Fame game of 7 catches for 163 against the Dolphins. He blamed everybody for sending him to Canton and writing his acceptance speech after that game. The fact is he got targeted 6 times against Jacksonville and caught 2 of them. There have been a couple drops sprinkled in there, but, he's going to get that scrutiny, so, take the heat. He was drafted number 4 overall, so, keep it moving. Now, they're going to need him. They're going to need everything. Going to need that 108 yards from Cordarrelle Patterson. Going to need some checkdowns from Mike Davis. Going to need some blocking from Mac Davis, too, to help out McGarry. Everything we've seen this year, they're going to need it in this game if they plan on winning it. Might even need some Lee Smith in this game. Need some Russell Gage, some Zacchaeus. Whatever thing they got, they're going to need it because here again, they're going to have Tampa's got an advantage against the offense. Falcons offense is 27th in the league in scoring at 18.1. The total offense is 310.526. The net rushing is 30th at 85 a game. Net passing is 19th at 225.5 a game. And then at time of possession, 28 minutes, 40 seconds. So you got the 27th scoring offense going against the 16th ranked scoring defense. And they're giving up 23 a game. But you got the 26th offense going against the 8th ranked total offense defense. They're giving up 328.5 a game. And then net rushing, you only average 85 a game, and they only give up 81. So if you get that 108 in this game, that's going to be a big one. That's number one in the league. That's the number one run defense in the league. So if that was a real rushing attack last week, or if it was smoke and mirrors, it'll be exposed here against the number one run defense. So we'll see. We'll see. They're going to need that. That would be a big feather in their cap to run the ball on these guys. Then that keeps Tom Brady off the field, too. So that's going to be one to really, really watch again this week. That's going to be important. Keeping the run game going against the number one ranked defense in the league. It's probably going to show itself in the game day preview package. Net passing yards, they're 220, Falcons 225.5. And the Bucks give up 247.5. They're 20th. So that's the weak link in this defense. No question about it. Like I said, it's, hey, can you get to them? But, if you figure out a way to do, maybe you max protect and send, a couple people out on the routes. You don't send everybody out. Keep it, and then this win on one side of the field. you know, got to figure out some way to move it on them. And I'm sure that the creative minds at 4400 Flowery Branch are coming up with some stuff to try to attack these guys, because this would be a big one if they could pull it off. Now, the turnover differential, the Falcons won that last week 2-1, so they're still 27th in the league at minus 7, and the Bucks are plus 8, which is tied for 5th. So, yeah, they give up yards in the pass game, and they give up some points there, but they take the ball from you, and they stop the run. So that's what the numbers say about these Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So hopefully that gets you ready for the game. You can come back and listen to it. The Bowtie Chronicles podcast, our 302nd episode. But for now, we're going to get out of here. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Getting ready for these championship games. The Alabama-Georgia game on Saturday is a big one. The SWAC game. Jackson State and Prairie View over there. We're looking forward to that. Celebration Bowl's coming to Atlanta. That's always a good one. So, college football season's winding down. Got coaches jumping all over the place. I wonder who's going to go to Notre Dame after Brian Kelly left to go to LSU. We'll see how that shakes out. But for now, we're going to bid adieu from the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. And, Falcons, 5-6 versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 8-3 at 1 p.m. Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You all take care and have a great rest of your week.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.